It's showtime.
With Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are, off and running on this 14th day of December. It is the penultimate week before Christmas week. And this program is live. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Remember, it's not a big truck. If it's not a big truck, it must be The Horn. Hi, I'm Bob. It's More In Monday here. Yes, it is. And if you'd like to augment your Horn listening experience, the same caveats apply as they most always do, and that is that you can have a darn fine old time just by popping by HeadOn.live and clicking on chat room, picking yourself out a screen name and a password, screen word and a pass name. Yes, of course. And you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Jimmy Jam and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space and become man cave. Yeah. So, understandable. Understandable. Food porn already taking place in the chat room right now. Squeaky mentioning Boston baked beans in the slow cooker and his lovely wife working on shrimp butternut curry soup soon. Oh, wow, that's it. I was feeling pretty good about myself because my neighbor that makes the fantastic Thai tom yum soup actually made me a pot of it this weekend. And whew, nothing. As much as I love various forms of food and food styles and cultures and everything, I don't think there's anything that I love. I do love that tom yum soup. Tart, tangy, with a host of novel and interesting flavors. And the nice thing is, when she makes it Thai hot, like she does for me, it also serves to polishes your upper respiratory tract squeaky clean. Whew! Yeah. But anyway, we've got a good group gathered in the chat room this evening, and of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And being a Monday, we have thanks to send out. We have thanks to send out to our weekend subscribers. So that would be the 14th, the 13th, and the 12th. And so thanks go out to our buddy Paul and to Gary in New York. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Gary, who's not in New York, Gary and Gaia in Oregon. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Matt in San Francisco. And thank you to Paul. Thank you all very, very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Where we stand now, for this Monday, we came up $110 short for fundraising the complete week last week. So the fundraising goal for this evening is a not entirely unmanageable $410. And that would be wonderful to knock down. And in fact, it has been knocked down by some. Today's dues and back dues from Friday, says Jeremy in Vermont. So that gets us down to an even $400. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Much appreciated indeed. We've got a lot to get into for this here More In Monday. There's no doubt about it. Oh, howdy, Anatole. Anatole's popped into the chat room. Right. And, you know, come on by if you'd like. Well, yeah. Bob! New shoes. Well, the goddess of irony never fails to show up as she's working overtime once again on the weekend, just like Joey and Giraffrey were this weekend in Georgia. Giraffrey did most of the work down there while Joey was watching the football games. However, Joey got mad when he couldn't find the Ohio State versus Michigan game on television, and he went out like a Wolverine on a terror as he, Giraffrey, along with sidekick Liz Griffith, covered four counties delivering signs all over the greater Atlanta metro area. What's that, Giraffrey? Jeffrey says, turns out there was not Ohio State-Michigan game because the head coach of Michigan went all David Chicken Purdue and decided not to show up in Columbus. Interestingly enough, for some strange reason, the Michigan football team held practice on Sunday. Who the hell knows when you don't bother to show up for the biggest game of the year? It was interesting that we were talking about England last week because when we saw the highlights of the Florida LSU game played in Florida at none other than Benny Hill Stadium in what looked like a British invasion of a London fog, I'm sure Billable Rick remembers the Chicago Bears versus Philadelphia Eagles playoff game of about 30 years ago when the fog rolled in off Lake Michigan and the announcers couldn't call the game from up in the booth because the fog was so thick. And color commentator Jeffrey chimes in, I, Jeffrey the giraffe, haven't the foggiest notion who won that game. Yeah, well, we may never know who won that game because nobody could see the scoreboard. It was Saturday in the fog down in Florida. LSU won the game against Florida on a boneheaded play by Marco Wilson. For some strange reason, Wilson, after making what appeared to be the game-winning tackle, threw the shoe of the opponent, Cole Taylor, several yards down the field, which ensured a penalty that eventually allowed LSU to win the game that they apparently had lost. Of course, Jeffrey with the synopsis. Yes, as it turns out, the Florida player in question, Marco Wilson, is related to Marco Rubio in first name only, and Marco Wilson screwed up the game just like Marco Rubio fucked up the Affordable Care Act by passing legislation to get rid of the risk corridors for the insurance. Gators player Marco Wilson was mad about a shoe contract that Cole Taylor received, which, by the way, was, wait for it, tailor-made. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. And Wilson launched Taylor's shoe down the field. Oh, and since we're talking about shoes, try this one on for size. Marco Wilson's defensive backs coach, the coach who is responsible for the play and actions of the defensive backs, such as Marco Wilson, his name is none other than Ron English. Well, thank you, Jeffrey. As I said, the goddess is working overtime, and on this day back in 2008, an Iraqi journalist threw a shoe at George W. Bush in protest of his invasion of Iraq, claiming Bush had not done severe damage to the Iraqi people and their nation. Yes, Jeffrey. Yes, Jeffrey. By the way, that journalist is running for office, and he's a shoo-in to win. Oh, dear. And we lost great singer Charlie Pride this weekend. With his loss, one thing was proven, and that is the Bible is not accurate because the Bible states in Proverbs that pride goeth before the fall. Well, actually, Pride did not die before the fall. He died near the end of the fall solstice. Well, it's not really a fall solstice. The winter solstice is coming up. First day of winter. I pay attention to those sorts of things. It's a happy day for me, winter solstice. It means the days start getting longer. This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 14th of December, with Giraffrey putting the shine on the shoes of Ossoff and Warnock. Mm-hmm. I'll be a minute getting over that extra dose of punnery. Oh, whatever shall we do with a smart-ass giraffe, huh? I know. You're suffering like I'm suffering. I fully understand. So, let's see. If you want to help out with the program, run on over to headon.live, and the PayPal interface is right there. For those of you who would like to use some other method, well, there's always the United States Postal Service. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Make everything payable to The Horn or Head On Radio Network. And some people like to use Venmo. If you would like to use Venmo, my address there is at Bob, capital B-O-B, hyphen, capital K, Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-I-D, hyphen, one. If you send some other way, I probably will never see it, but much appreciated. Well, I agree. Steve in New York points out, Thai food is the bee's knees, replete with its spices, flavors, and ability to keep your sinuses and colon clear. Well, I wasn't looking for that last remark, but, you know, let's go ahead and kick dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone right in the shins and move on from there. Why not? Yep. So where do we... it is, in fact, Moran Monday. Oh, it's so is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Pump that calliope up! Yes, with the dulcet tones of the calliope playing its Halcon song, we know that it's time for Moran Monday on the Horn. Yes, yes, just here, scant feet away from the Carnival Midway, where only moments ago you were throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in the vain, glorious hope of taking home a precious, not-so-precious baby iguana. We've got the thin cybernetic veil that separates the carnival crowd from the Moran Monday tent. Yes, indeed, right here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we've got them all. Every manner of right-winger, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger-eaters, libertarians, Republicans, maggots, trumpanzees, the full toxic panoply of right-wing conservative moranity. And it's all right here, and it's all dirt cheap. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, kids and cousins, for only the cost of about less than half a stick of juicy fruit chewing gum, you too can be a subscriber to The Horn and make sure that Moran Monday continues to go from town to town each and every Monday. A generalized warning goes out to those entering the Moran Monday tent to please keep a close hand and a close eye on bangles, watches, bracelets, tennis bracelets, ankle bracelets, toe rings, nose rings, eyebrow rings, necklaces, more conventional jewelry. Children, small pets, emotional security animals, and even that baby iguana that you somehow won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Because the maggots can get grabby. Watch those European-style messenger bags, those crossbody bags. Hell, the maggots would probably try to steal the ink out of the tattoos on your very flesh. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. And you so will. Because, well, it was the weekend before the meeting of the Electoral College. And that almost guaranteed that there was going to be moranity. You know, up to our eyeballs. And really and for truly, there has been. It began Saturday. We talked last week about the stupid rallies the maggots would be holding in places like D.C., Harrisburg, Atlanta, Lansing, Madison, etc. They even found their way to Washington State, even though Washington State is not at all in question. There was gunplay in Washington State, and in Washington, D.C., well, there was knife work. God almighty. And the Proud Boys were there. I didn't know that they had a cross-dressing contingent, but Sue in the Great Northwest posted a picture of the Proud Boys the way they showed up on Saturday. And well, I had to remind folks there on the page of the wise and sage words of the Horns LGBTQ plus community den mother. That would be Matt in San Francisco, who once advised Bob, and this was with regard to Rudy Giuliani, but I'm quite sure there's relevance with respect to the Proud Boys who showed up in skirts. Bob, that's not a drag queen. That's a man in a dress. And so it is, and so it shall remain. My God. It black and gold kilts, really? The Scott, I'm sure self-respecting Scots were looking at it and saying, "Aye, and I'd like to have kilt them. The Gora," or some such as that. See, Jeffrey's not the only one that can make a pun, okay? Okay. So they got violent, and there was video of people chasing people and being violent all over, all because it was in, these were entirely the products of stochastic terrorism as promulgated by COVID Caligula. So it, and then today was no less weird. No, not at all. So let's see where to start, for God's sakes. Well, among other things, an investigation has begun because the Proud Boys, who are now not even pretending not to be Nazis anymore. I mean, they've got a their symbol shows a laurel wreath encircling the earth with an eagle grasping the earth, the Western Hemisphere, in its claws. No, there's that's not a historical echo at all. No. They tore down the Black Lives Matter banner from the Asbury United Methodist Church. That just happens to be one of the oldest black churches in the D.C. area. And they set the Black Lives Matter banner afire while grunting, "Fuck Antifa!" Not one to miss the symbolism. Reverend Dr. Lanther Mills, who is the senior pastor at Asbury United, remarked that this was reminiscent, quote, reminiscent of cross burnings and part of an apparent rise in white supremacy. He offered up a statement, Reverend Mills did. Perhaps it's to our benefit to share it. He wrote this yesterday on the 13th of December. Since 1836, Asbury United Methodist Church has stood at the corner of 11th and K Streets, Northwest Washington, D.C. We are a resilient people who have trusted in God through slavery and the Underground Railroad, Jim Crow, and the Civil Rights Movement, and now as we face an apparent rise in white supremacy. Last night, demonstrators, who are part of the MAGA gatherings, see, the pastor's being generous, I would say, last night, right-wing terrorists who were part of the MAGA gatherings tore down our Black Lives Matter sign and literally burned it in the street. The sign burning was captured on Twitter. It pained me especially to see our name, Asbury, in flames. For me, it was reminiscent of cross-burning. Seeing this act on video made me both indignant and determined to fight the evil that has reared its ugly head. We had been so confident that no one would ever vandalize the church. But it has happened. We are a people of faith. As horrible and disturbing as this is for us now, it does not compare with the challenges and fears the men and women who started Asbury 184 years ago faced. So we will move forward, undaunted in our assurance that Black Lives Matter, and we are obligated to continue to shout that truth without ceasing. We are assured that our church is surrounded by God's grace and mercy. Sadly, we must point out that if this was a marauding group of men of color going through the city and destroying property, they would have been followed and arrested. It probably took no small amount of restraint on the part of Reverend Mills not to note that they would have been followed, arrested, and quite possibly killed, which is exactly why Black Lives Matter exists. We are especially alarmed that this violence is not being denounced at the highest levels of our nation, and instead the leaders of this movement are being invited to the White House, because they are. Asbury United Methodist Church abhors violence of any kind. We call upon all to join us in prayer for our community, church, and the people who are responsible for this hateful behavior. We believe this is a wake-up call for all to be more vigilant and committed to anti-racism and building a beloved community, and we invite you to join us. Our congregation will continue to stand steadfast. We will not be moved. We will press on in the name of the Lord. And, of course, he's right. There is a rise in right-wing violence in this country. On this program, we have documented it for years. And the fact of the matter is, there is a certain kinship between the rising right-wing violence of today and the same toxic, homicidal maniacs who burnt churches during the civil rights era, who bombed churches, who killed little girls. It's the same kind of thuggish cowardice that attends these acts of violence now, here and now. And the leader of the Proud Boy, Enrique Tarrio, said he had been invited to the White House, but Judd Deere, White House spokescreep, backtracked on that in a hurry. He was on a public White House Christmas tour. He didn't have a meeting with the president, nor did the White House invite him. There were hundreds of maggots in the streets of D.C. over the weekend. At Metropolitan African Methodist Episcopal Church, at Metropolitan AME Church, they tore down yet another Black Lives Matter sign. And as it burned, they screamed and grunted, "Whose streets are streets?" William H. Lamar IV is the pastor there. He said, "We have not been distracted by signs, sounds, or fury for nearly two centuries. We worship, we liberate, we serve." Luther Place Memorial Church, also in D.C., said their Black Lives Matter sign was stolen. And they replaced it three times since Friday. And so when you see similar churches, but in different locations, getting their Black Lives Matter signs torn down, then you know that it is a coordinated act. Reverend Karen Brow, the pastor of that church, the third one that I named, Luther Place Memorial, said, "A gang of Proud Boys descended on the church, harassed our leaders, and took the sign away. This group came back a second time to intimidate us. Later Saturday night, we learned we were part of an intentional targeting of houses of worship." The Washington Post has reported that no arrests have been made, or that police have declined to say if any were made. But the police issued a statement through police spokeswoman Alina Gertz saying, "We take these offenses seriously and we are currently investigating them as possible hate crimes." Possible. Yeah. There were more than 30 arrests. There were melees that, as I mentioned earlier, resulted in stabbings later in the evening. 8 officers were injured. 10 people were charged with assaulting a police officer, 11 charged with assault, 1 charged with assault with a deadly weapon, and at least 2 charged with illegal weapon possession. Meanwhile, it was hard not to miss the disparity of treatment that attended all of this. D.C. City Council member-elect Janice Lewis George noticed it. On Twitter, she said, "Tonight, violent white supremacists stole and burned a Black Lives Matter banner from Asbury United Methodist, the oldest Black Methodist church in D.C., but yet no militarized police force used against them. There are 2 justice systems in this country, separate and unequal." I'll say it again, sister. Mayor Muriel Bowser chimed in, "We saw forces of hate seeking to use destruction and intimidation to tear us apart. We will not let that happen and continue to stand together strong and united to love." And, well, Mayor Bowser's getting some grief in her own right. Black Lives Matter D.C. said, "Yesterday, D.C. was invaded by white supremacists who were aided and protected by the Metropolitan Police Force. MPD allowed Proud Boys to physically attack D.C. residents who stood against white supremacy. They had the right to roam D.C. streets and tear down Black Lives Matter signs. That's a hate crime. This is unacceptable," Nene Taylor said. She's a co-organizer of Black Lives Matter D.C. That is unacceptable, and Black Lives Matter is demanding that police be held accountable and the city council hold Muriel Bowser accountable for allowing the Proud Boys to come back to our city and do the exact same thing they did on November 14th. This is some ugly fascist garbage. And until they are crushed, they will continue to act in this fashion. That's pretty much the plain and simple of it. But in Georgia, counterfeit electors met in a part of the state capitol there in Atlanta. The 16 actual electors officially cast their votes for Joe Biden, but the fraudulent counterfeit electors also met and cast their fraudulent counterfeit votes for Nitwit Nero. It was a historic moment as Stacey Abrams, the presiding officer of the Electoral College, told the electors, "I'm pleased to announce that Joseph R. Biden has received 16 votes for President of the United States." And so what we have now is between, and it's, yeah, I know it's exhausting. I know it is. There was Safe Harbor Day on the 8th of December. Today was the meeting of the Electoral College. And then on January 6th, Congress convenes to ratify the Electoral College vote. And they plan to try to wreck that as well. Michelle Yee-He Lee was in the room with the Republicans. She reported from that distant corner of the Atlanta State Capitol. As many people are noting here, these are not official electors. They are state Republicans who cast votes during this meeting for Trump and Pence just in case the U.S. Supreme Court takes actions that overturn the presidential vote in Georgia. And probably the most telling part of that photograph is the fact that there is not a mask to be seen in the entire photo, despite the fact that Georgia is on fire with the coronavirus. Yeah. So what are they arguing? What was the importance of the Republican slate of electors voting in states like Georgia and Pennsylvania today? It keeps our litigation efforts alive. If those votes hadn't been cast today, the fate of the election today wouldn't have been essentially sealed. Would have been. This was a statement made via Twitter by a little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of C.J. Pearson. And he participated in the counterfeit process in Georgia. They tried something similar in Lansing, Michigan. The Michigan State Police was on hand, and the Michigan State House had mostly been shut down when a group of maggot counterfeits showed up at the door there. It didn't work out particularly well.
For the Capitol Commission, for the governor's office, for the Speaker of the House, for the Speaker of the Senate, the Capitol is closed unless you have an office here to conduct business today, or if you are taking part in the Electoral College process. Anybody else is not permitted to come in.
The
electors are already here. They've been checked in.
Not all the electors are in sight.
All 16 electors that you've been advised by the governor's staff that we're going to be here to vote in the Electoral College have been checked in. They're already here.
But the GOP electors, I'm sorry.
I understand.
Ian's here.
Captain.
Everybody that's permitted to
move forward.
So the counterfeits showed up claiming the right, and the that captain from the Michigan State Police shut them right the hell down. Nonetheless, Stephen Miller, and one may hope ever so fervently that eventually, in fairly short period of time, we won't have to hear the name Stephen Miller much anymore. But he said that they were going to have a group of alternate electors, just like they have alternate facts, I guess. He went on to say that they would be the alternate electors. Oh, well, let's just let Stephen Miller speak for his own.
What electors are going to do to preserve our rights to ensure an accurate and honest result to this election.
So, Stephen, Fox News poll, 77% of Trump supporters believed he was robbed. 68% of Republicans believe the election was stolen. And 10% of Democrats said that they agreed, too. But what's your next step? The Supreme Court already rejected this. How do you plan on what's the next quiver and what did Nancy Pelosi say, arrow in your quiver?
Well, we have open election challenges in all the contested states. Take Wisconsin, for example. That's still working its way through the system. And if you look at what happened in Wisconsin, Wisconsin has a federal or a state law that says in order to vote by mail, you have to apply. But in Democrat precincts, instead, they solicited hundreds of thousands of votes from people who never applied to be absentee voters. We have no idea who these people are. We have no idea if they're even eligible to vote in their state or how many fraudulent ballots were included. But we do know that those votes were cast in clear violation of federal law.
Let's be clear. They weren't cast in clear violation of federal law. And most every word emanating from that pathetic misanthrope's mouth is untrue. Because Nazis, fascists, will lie. They will do anything to keep their power. And of course, Fox News is there to help amplify the dishonesty.
And it is also a clear violation of the Equal Protection Clause as well, because Republican voters were not solicited to issue those same ballots. Mm-hmm. That's still being worked through as we speak. And in Georgia, any day, the state legislature could stand up and require signature verification in that state. That one act.
That one act would be in violation of the consent decree that's already been signed with the federal court system, and would find an almost immediate rule to show cause issuing why said Republicans should not be held in contempt of court. Jesus, these people. But then again, if the folks who tune in to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda won't know that, and they will not be told that, because the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, as we all know, does not exist to inform. It actually exists to disinform.
We give Donald Trump the state of Georgia. There was a rejection rate of mail-in ballots of over 6% in 2016. After the illegal consent decree that was done without legislature approval, it went down to a third of 1% at the same time as the number of mail-in ballots increased exponentially.
See, that's the thing. He acknowledges the consent decree, but says it was illegal because it was done without the consent of the legislature. The legislature did not have to consent, nor did it have a right to intervene. They seem to have a fundamental problem understanding the most basic aspects of governance. But that's okay, because Emery and Marveline, sitting there in their matching Barca loungers, well, they just mostly, they nod their heads. You know, this is why, when I refer to Fox, I refer to it as Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You have to have a kind of a working understanding of the Rwandan genocide to get the fullness of what I mean. But back during the Rwandan genocide, Radio Rwanda actively participated in it by helping to target people for murder, and by deliberately disinforming the people of that blood-soaked, tormented country at the time. And that's exactly what Fox News TV Radio Rwanda does. All those Emerys and Marvelines, they disinform them. They keep them in a state of confusion, and they also keep them whipped into a white, and I do mean white, hot fury. And there was no better example, of course, than the violence of this past weekend that Fox deliberately helped to gin up. It's pathetically obvious. But there was at least one hard question for Stephen Miller. It survived COVID. How do you like that? Well, I guess he got the monoclonal cocktail that the hoi polloi can't get. That would explain it, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'd say so.
Mail-in ballots increased exponentially. Guys, that's not possible unless there is massive fraud.
Stephen, so if there were underage people voting, if there were criminals voting, if there was illegal ballots cast, your legal team in almost every state 50 times lost, some with Trump judges. So do you have the worst legal team who just don't seem to be presenting a good case, or are you just too late and this case should have been brought before the election?
How about they never had a leg to stand on in the first place, and this is simply a big, dirty grift to keep money flowing into Donald Trump's pockets because he's got a $400 million note payment coming up that he can't afford to pay right now, but he needs the maggots to, yeah.
We did bring these cases before the election, but what you have to appreciate and realize is that the pressure from the corrupt corporate media to make everybody cave and bend is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. And so, yes, judges are caving. Yes, politicians are caving.
Hold the hell on. since when do judges cave to pressure from a news network? I mean, part of the reason that federal judges serve a lifetime tenure at Good Behavior is to insulate them from that kind of pressure. And where's the evidence of even one judge caving? Yeah, what is the sound of one hand clapping? What's the sound of one judge caving? There is none. But they are going to scream all the way to the inauguration, and then they're going to try, through people like John Durham, given for all intents and purposes a permanent appointment as special counsel by U.S. Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr, to make life a living hell for this incoming administration, so that they cannot accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Because, by the way, the country is still burning up under a pandemic. The entire country is on fire now. And additionally, the economic damage being wrought is almost incalculable. Eviction notices going out for January and the like. David in South Carolina stands, subject line COVID. They keep complaining about high levels of absentee ballots. We are in a pandemic. Over 300,000 are dead now. Over at Now This, I saw a graphic representation using marbles showing what it looks like to have over 300,000 of our fellow citizens dead. And it was shocking. I mean, the marbles just kept falling and falling and falling. And when you got your head into that existential space and realized every one of those marbles were lives, days, it truly boggles the mind. Naturally, I had to be out errand running and so forth during the weekend, and there were a couple of places I thought I'd go in. I just drove by and kept on going because it seemed like everybody and their cousin had decided to go there at that point in time. Packed. Wally World was packed on Saturday night. At least in Wally World, they wear a mask. Not so much other places. I had to fill up the tank with kerosene, and now that, and this was last night, fill up one of our kerosene jugs, and now that we can't do business with the Rippy Mart up the road because of the guy with the coughing and the tobacco crumb-covered tongue, and I have to go on across the river, and I happened to be pumping my kerosene when a guy pulled up next to the pump. I had my mask on. I had my gloves on. Hell, I'd probably wear gloves anyway because I hate the stench of kerosene. And he pulls up to the pump, and I know him, and I know his mom and dad. And I said, hey, hadn't seen you in a while. We were socially distant. He wasn't wearing a mask. And I said, so, you know, because you do this. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody does it everywhere. It's not just some sort of hillbilly thing. You know, how's mom and dad? And he said, well, and it was sad. I mean, it's just how it goes in West Virginia. Well, dad's got the lung cancer. And then he said something that chilled me to my bones. And mama got diagnosed with the COVID a couple of days ago. They're pretty much quarantining. Pretty much. And again, nice guy, no mask. I backed up while still trying to make sure that I was filling my kerosene jug and not just spilling it on the ground like Onan spills its news. I put a little more distance between us. because it was like, it was harrowing. And I don't run around, you know, afraid of stuff. But that was fearsome. Very much so. As to Stephen Miller, Stephen, New York, says, let's not forget this. In all cases where they actually had to file in court, Trump's dream team stated explicitly that this was not about fraud. Well, every time there was a law license on the line, no, there's no fraud here. We're not alleging any fraud. No. Okay, you get to keep your law license. I guess that's the pressure campaign, not letting lawyers just openly and notoriously lie in court. That's where we are. But again, none of this makes any particular difference because the level of the level of civic instruction, civic understanding in this country is pitiable. I'm seeing breaking news coming from both Ralph's and from our buddy Matt in San Francisco saying, well, let me just put it to you what Matt said. How jacked up and made must things be getting inside the government for Pepe the Frog Barr to say that's enough? Ralph's noting Bill Barr resigned with a link to Democratic Underground. Nitwit Nero tweeted, because that's how you find things out in 21st century Merca.
Just had a very nice meeting with Attorney General Bill Barr at the White House. Our relationship has been a very good one. He has done an outstanding job. As per letter, Bill will be leaving just before Christmas to spend the holidays with his family.
Yes, he really did plead that he was quitting to spend more time with his family because the goddess of irony misses nothing. Not a damned thing. Let's see if we can get a little deeper into the weeds on that one, shall we? Yeah. This appears to be real. 5:39 p.m. December 14th, the tweet from Trump.
Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen, an outstanding person. I don't know why he is, but he's the Justice Department's there, and he's just outstanding in front of it. Will become acting Attorney General. Highly respected Richard Donahue will be taking over the duties of Deputy Attorney General. Thank you to all.
The letter, on the other hand, addressed to Nitwit Nero. I appreciate the opportunity to update you this afternoon on the department's review of voter fraud allegations in the 2020 election, ribbit, and how these allegations will continue to be pursued. At a time when the country is so deeply divided, it is incumbent on all levels of government and all agencies acting within their purview to do all we can to assure the integrity of elections and promote public confidence in their outcome. Okay, I guess that's the opening fluffing paragraph. I'm greatly honored that you called on me to serve your administration and the American people once again as Attorney General. I'm proud to have played a role in the many successes and unprecedented achievements you've delivered for the American people, including my managing to protect you against no less than 9 counts of obstruction of justice. No, it's not in there. I was only thinking it. Your record is all the more historic because you accomplished it in the face of relentless, implacable resistance. Oh, your magnificent hideousness, my baron, will never be, will never be surpassed. No, I added that too. Your 2016 victory speech, in which you reached out to your opponents and called for working together for the benefit of the American people, was immediately met by partisan onslaught against you, in which no tactic, no matter how abusive and deceitful, was out of bounds. The nadir of this campaign was the effort to cripple, if not oust, your administration with frenzied and baseless accusations of collusion with Russia. Well, see, that's the problem. It was never particularly frenzied, and it was anything but baseless, and remains so to this day. Because they did canoodle with the Russians. There was a connection between WikiLeaks and Russian hackers and the release of stolen documents and emails.
Few could have weathered these attacks, my glorious baron, much less forge ahead with a positive program for the country, complete with all of your magnificent leaking pustules.
No, I'm sorry, I'm confusing all of this with Dune. Well, he does look a little bit like a Bill Barr does, like an amphibian Mentat gone to seed. So there's all this fluffing that goes on. As discussed, I will spend the next week wrapping up a few remaining matters important to the administration and depart on December 23rd. Wishing you, Melanie and her son, a Merry Christmas and a blessed holiday season. God bless. Sincerely, William Pelham Barr, Attorney General.
Out of here!
Free at last. Free at last. Oh, God Almighty. I'm free at last. Yeah. So, goodbye, Bill. Wonder what kind of, wonder if he's done anything to try to protect himself against, I don't know, indictment. As to the Kremlin and those baseless, frenzied claims, David in South Carolina, Stan points out, he fired the cybersecurity team and now we're under attack. Now, the question is, did Bill Barr jump or was he pushed? Because, you know, he's been getting pretty well vilified over the course of the past few weeks when he refused to do the bidding of his master's voice. And it's all the more interesting because of an article from Bloomberg News from a scant mere 4 days ago. Headline, Barr plans to remain attorney general until Trump's term ends. Attorney General William Barr plans to remain in his post and won't step down early unless President Donald Trump asks him to leave, according to a Justice Department official. Speculation has swirled that Barr might resign this month after his latest falling out with Trump over the attorney general's comments that the department hadn't found evidence of widespread voter fraud that would overturn the November 3rd presidential election. In the short span of 4 days, it became time for Bill Barr to hit the bricks. David in South Carolina says he may wind up putting Lynn Wood into the AG's office. I have no doubt whatsoever that he will try to find some. This may be, you remember the Watergate Saturday night massacre had to do with the firing of the Watergate special prosecutor. The attorney general wouldn't do it. The deputy attorney general wouldn't do it. And they got down to, they started, and Nixon kept scraping the pickle barrel till he got down to the bottom and found Robert Bork, who was more than willing to lick the hand that fed him, Nixon's hand, and do Nixon's bidding. This is kind of a reverse of that, maybe. Barr is bugging out. Pepe the Frog bugging out. You get the idea. And Nitwit Nero is probably casting about for somebody, anybody, to bring a bullshit suit to protect him from what must surely be coming in his direction once he isn't president anymore. As I mentioned on Friday on our front porch conversation, I watched, Agnes and I watched The Queen's Gambit, and we enjoyed it immensely. And eventually, in a chess match, you can get to the point where you just, you don't have any moves left, and you either, as the program shows you, the civilized thing to do is to knock your piece over and resign. You quit, rather than forcing it to its inevitable conclusion. Again, that term is to resign. I remain unable to conceive that someone has not had a conversation with him, no matter the circumstances or how much he screamed or pissed and moaned or whatever, explaining to him that he's down to very few moves left. He either leaves office because he was beaten, goes off to live in Florida, hopes that Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, the illegitimate white supremacist adjacent governor of Florida, will protect him against extradition proceedings, or he resigns, takes a pardon from Pence, and then hopes that, again, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, et cetera, can keep him from being extradited to New York on New York charges. And there it is. Just as Biden went over 270, Don Winslow reporting on Twitter, Donald Trump fired Bill Barr just after Biden was formally elected by the Electoral College to change the news cycle. This has been a pattern of Donald Trump's for many years. He always does something shocking on a day when he's being humiliated. Always, always, always. That makes sense. The Seattle Times reporting Biden-Harris clear 270 vote mark as electors affirm their victory. They went over the top with California's 55 votes just a little bit ago. They won by a lot in California, like 5 million votes. Well, Megan's celebrating. Christmas came early. Billy Barf is resigning on the day the Electoral College solidifies the win for Biden-Harris. Santa delivered early. And the Krampus Krampused his pants and fired the Attorney General. Yeah. Let's see. Flavio is a mite upset, and yet Pelosi will go ahead and seat the 126 seditious GOP reps. She did, however, sternly reprimand them. She did say they were very un-American. Bad, bad representatives. Tisk, tisk. Kumbaya. I don't know, but when you don't punish people for bad behavior, they may think they got away with it and double down. It's getting harder and harder to believe she's playing 11D-dimensional chess, Bob. Help me out. Let me help. I was impressed, as were a number of people, many of us, by the actions of Bill Pascrell of New Jersey. I caught him being interviewed, I saw him being interviewed by Jonathan Capehart on MSNBC this weekend. And Bill Pascrell was in good form and full of righteous vim and vigor. as he denounced the 126 traitors in the House of Representatives. And I, like Flavio, am of like mind with him. But I think even Bill Pascrell understood that what he was doing was symbolic. Flavio, what Bill Pascrell would have wanted to do would have created further chaos in government. And the one thing we don't need is more chaos. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm sure Flavio and everybody else saw that when news broke that Nitwit Nero and his team of not exactly legal solons had lost 9-0 in the Supreme Court on their stupid petition, the stupid Texas petition. The state of Texas, I'm not kidding, the head of the GOP in the state of Texas called for secession. And because it's Moran Monday, on top of all of that, as Steve in New York pointed out to me, succession trended on social media today. S-U-C-C-E-S-S-I-O-N, which is that thing which is covered by the 25th Amendment to the Constitution. It is the Succession Amendment. One might have thought, I wonder if people are pondering a resignation. And that would not have been out of hand. That would have been understandable. But it also was not why it was trending. It was trending because the maggots can't spell secession. Not succession. Secession. S-E-C-E-S-S-I-O-N. You know, what South Carolina and Alabama and North Carolina and Mississippi and Georgia and Tennessee and Arkansas and Texas and Louisiana all did in Florida during the Civil War to secede from the Union. Which reminded me of something I saw years ago, some pissed off Texans standing in the middle of the street with signs. Each person was holding an individual letter, and they were lined up so that they could clearly make their message known. And there were three E's, there was an S, a C, a D. And standing proudly together, those good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Republicans had proudly spelled out for the camera that potent political word, that political dynamite, that civic TNT. They had spelled out the word Sick D. Really. Right there with you, Darlene in Connecticut. Goodbye, you fat bullfrogged motherfucker, William Pelham Barr. May the almighty door hit that wide load of yours on the way out. Wonder if Barr's holding a 500-plus guest Christmas party at Trump Hotel in D.C. this holiday season like he did last year. A party with all the accoutrements a Scotsman could love, like plaid kilts and bagpipes. Oh, yeah. Glenn Kirshner wondered aloud several days ago if Barr got a pocket pardon. You know, kind of like those under seal sort of things that we all wish the Russia investigation had done for indictments of the rotten orange, as my 13-year-old niece likes to call him. Up next on the conveyor belt, FBI Director Chris Wray. You just watch. Yep. Love that, Megan. Billy Barf. LOL. Yeah, that's... Megan said Santa came early this year. No. Steve would like to offer a correction, given the time of year right now. It wasn't Santa. It was Hanukkah Harry who delivered Barr's resignation. Lee in New York pointing out, most resignations are done on a Friday, so I just wonder what the spotlight grabber wants to grab the spotlight away from. Maybe people in state capitals doing something that Trump doesn't like? It must be my imagination. No, it isn't. It happened at the very same moment that the Electoral College made Joe Biden the incoming president. It worked for a change, the Electoral College. So, no worries, Darlene, no worry. Maggot Spelling, Lee in New York, says, they would protest at Microsoft, don't autocorrect on me. they like Apple's not guilty either. I get auto-errored on the regular. So, here we are. We've passed the hour mark in this More-In Monday. Told you we had More-Ins. And I need to thank Cecilia. Thank you, Cecilia, very kindly indeed for getting us down below the $400 mark. We got $375 to go in fundraising. 75 bucks to go, and that'll wipe out last week's funding. Then we can do 300, and that'll keep us even going forward. Because it seems like keeping this thing running is a constant game of whack-a-bill or a whack-a-mole. Get one paid and another one pops up. Note coming in from Lou in PA. Just tuned in. Did you mention January 5th, Georgia? Did you forget to mention it on Friday? If so, it deserves a double makeup blast. Well, we did mention it on Friday. I had not mentioned it specifically this evening, so thank you for the reminder. I appreciate you taking your obligation seriously, Lou. And I think we can segue to it with a note from David in South Carolina, Stan. Georgia Senate. If we do not win both seats, we will have at least 2 years of Senate hearings and investigations into Hunter Biden. All of a sudden, the mainstream media will follow along. Dems better get their shit together to hold the House. Just telling the truth is not enough for voters. Well, let's all sing it together, shall we? Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all fit to lose our minds. Everybody, Hunter Biden. No, that's enough. But it's very much a reality. No doubt about it. And so, whither next? Well, everybody seems to be pretty much in agreement that now that after today, the 14th of December, and the Electoral College vote, the game, as I noted earlier, seems to be to try to wreck things in the Congress come January 6th. According to CNN's Jake Tapper, he said to... It seems as though President Trump is already looking past these Electoral College results and he's trying to steal the election in a different way. And Jim Acosta, doing his stand-up, replied, I suppose you could say that. And went on and said, That's right, these efforts to sabotage the election will continue over here at the White House. I talked to a White House advisor just a short time ago who said that the president is already looking past the Electoral College toward January 6th, and that's when the official tallying of the electoral votes occurs in the House of Representatives. The Vice President, Mike Pence, will be presiding over that. What we typically see during that kind of ceremony, it's a ceremonial event, we're expecting to see, according to this White House advisor, is Republican House members challenging those results. Now, this advisor described, this is a long-shot opportunity for the President to have these results thrown out. I would describe it more as a no-shot, because even though these Republican House members may make noise on the House floor, they need a senator to sign on to these efforts, and it's unlikely if that's going to happen. If it does happen... the Democrats, it does happen, the Democrats control the House and not likely to go along with any of this, so this is doomed to go nowhere. Yeah, but I'm not so sure about not having a senator to stand up. Last we checked in, wasn't there consensus that, in fact, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, didn't he say he'd stand up? And isn't there a pretty good chance that young Josh Hawley in Missouri might stand up for that? Because I wouldn't write it off out of hand. Again, one of those moments I'll be happy to be wrong about. But so far, I mean, I just can't take anything for granted anymore. And there's a reason not to take this stuff for granted. Well, wait, hold on. I haven't heard from Thomas in a very long time. Let's check in. Hey, Thomas, happy holidays.
Hello, Bob. Definitely. I just quit a job. Well, a part-time job, but I actually have time to, like, hear your show and call in and everything else. I figured I'd join in the merriment of the vote for Joe Biden and the Trump resignation of Bill Barr, which is always interesting. I hope you're talking about that.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it's just interesting times that we live in. I love the distraction that he put out. He resigned. Spend more time with his family, because that's how you do. And I resigned too, but, you know, not to, just because I needed more time. I find the whole thing very interesting that it's kind of happened in this time, because doesn't he need an attorney general? I mean, to go... Doesn't he still want to go to the Supreme Court? Is that as he realized?
Well, apparently he thinks the guy who's going to fill in for Barr is of sufficient lick spittleage to get the job done.
Rudy Giuliani? What? No, I'm kidding. Who is? Fill me in, Bob, because maybe I didn't hear who the new guy is, the new turd on the pole, on the pike.
Oh, Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen, an outstanding person, will become Acting Attorney General. Highly respected Richard Donahue will be taking over the duties of Deputy Attorney General. Thank you to all.
So he didn't go back to Jeff Sessions. They're really over.
Well,
I'm checking for a friend.
No, he'd piss off the entire Senate, Thomas, because they'd have to hold confirmation hearings.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll just be acting.
Yeah, well, he's acting, so I guess
we've got an entire maladministration full of actors.
So the other, I did call for a selfish reason too. I know that some of our head-on listeners have let me know that FYI Nation has been down a lot recently. Entirely my fault, because the update, you know how Windows does its updates. I have one monitor that is down, and it doesn't tell me. So I didn't realize that we were down for as long as we were down. So I wanted to apologize for that officially on air, since I had a forum to do that. Thank you for that, Bob.
No worries. I mean, God knows this is progressive broadcasting. We are we are required to operate on the last dry-rotted thread of a frayed sneaker string.
I just can't seem to find my George Soros check, Bob. I don't know what happened to it.
I think they're getting stolen myself.
It's in the Trump mailbox, so, you know.
Well, I mean, the Proud Boys will steal the sign off a church. They'll probably steal your Soros check, too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Those poor bastards. Did you see the... I saw that apparently our friend Mr. Sulu, George Takei, I can never say his name right.
Takei.
had a video up about they took the Proud Boys dot gay. Did you hear about that?
No, do tell more.
Yeah, apparently the whole gay community and LGBT Twitter and TikTok have taken over the Proud Boys dot gay, which is interesting to go after the Proud Boys, because why not? Because, yeah, they just don't, they're sad. There's sad people over there on the right. But I found that whole escapade interesting, that they're using it against them, as you can use almost anything against the right wing, it seems. I mean, they're even fighting amongst themselves. They have Newsmax and Fox News fighting. How is that a thing? And who's the submissive in that relationship?
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know who gets tied up and gets the hockey puck. No, sorry.
Would it be OAN? I mean, that's the.
Well, they spill their news upon the ground, so.
I mean, it's the sad fact that I know all these people, and it's because I have a Sirius, one of my last subscriptions I have left that I maintain is a Sirius XM subscription. And I've been listening. I subject myself to the right wing a lot more than most people on the left do, because I find it funny. I find it comical. And Mark Levin is usually on when you're on.
You mean the guy with the voice made for print?
Yes. I'm Mark Levin.
I mean, Jesus, he makes Gilbert Gottfried sound like an opera singer.
Yes, exactly. And he has gone. I don't know how he makes money. He reads these ads and they're so awful. And it's like they don't pay us. They don't pay you enough. And we're not. I mean, you're asking for money. I'm barely asking for money. But
I don't see any other. Yeah, I hate to.
Yeah, I know.
But honest to God, I don't see any other way to keep this going.
But brings me to my point. Then you get this fart jackal, fucking Mark Levin, can't even say his name, with the voice from hell reading ads, and it's like,
wait, did you say fart jackal?
Yes, fart jackal.
You earned that one.
You're welcome.
Fart jackal. Oh, and by the way, just to fill in, Raffaellito may object from the Senate, but also Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there, has said he'll stand up, as has Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist.
Oh, penis head?
And that thing on his head, yes.
Yes, penis head. We call him, let me rephrase, pubis head. Pubis. That's because his hair looks like pubes. At least when I look. I mean, I see somebody's, not mine.
Well, you've probably altered my universe in some way or another, and
you're welcome.
I'm not particularly grateful for it. Don't jump the gun, Thomas.
Well, I go with fart jackals. Got to talk about Rand Paul's pubes. Oh, another thing I saw. Did you know that his father, Dr. Ron Paul, not Dr. Jill Biden, but Dr. Ron Paul, had a stroke on live conservative Cracker Jack radio?
No.
Yes. Right on live. In fact, the only reason I know about that is because I'm a TikTok whore now. And he literally stroked out right while he was. I shouldn't laugh, but it's hysterical. I mean, he really did. And it was. And the poor radio host was like, Dr. Paul, are you okay? And you shouldn't laugh, but it's still funny. Because you literally saw it happen. I've never been privy to anybody having a stroke before, but you literally saw it happen. Like, as the...
Oh, it happened on air here.
Yeah.
And thanks to kind and loving and warm and caring members of this community, Bill survived that stroke.
Well, that's good, but this is a bad stroke. This was from a fart jackal. You know, so there are good strokes. I mean, not good strokes, but there are good people who have bad strokes, and there are bad people who have good strokes, and this is a good stroke. So we need to be well-defined in where we have that line. And you literally saw the hamster die on the wheel.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very, if it was any other person, you would feel bad. Then you realize it's Ron Paul. And then you don't. And then you can giggle about it. And that's the only reason why I am. I'm not a completely heartless bastard. But when it's Ron Paul, it's Ron Paul. He had Rand Paul. For Christ's
suffered sake. An apparent stroke-like illness in the middle of a live stream Friday afternoon.
Yes.
Paul, 85, who was live streaming his weekday Liberty Report, broadcast on hospitalized for precautionary reasons, according to Fox News.
Yes, this is a while back, but they caught it and it was on the TikToks and it went viral and he is viral, so.
Okay, so this was back in September. Okay.
Yes, but I wasn't sure if you had heard about that.
I missed it completely. Once that racist left Congress, there any need for me to pay any attention to his existence whatsoever? Pretty much, it disappeared.
You could say the same thing about Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann, but somehow they managed to end up.
Well, but they're good for comedic value, Thomas.
True. But so is Ron Paul having a stroke. I'm sorry. I just in the back of my head, I'm an evil bastard. But the hamster dying is all I see when he strokes out. I had to watch it a couple of times because I couldn't believe it myself. Because my father has had a stroke, and I know they're serious. I'm not making light of strokes. Let me be very clear. I'm making light of the person who had the stroke. And maybe that makes me even worse. But it was just the way it happened of all people. It's kind of a win. It's kind of like when Trump got COVID. It was a little bit of a win. You felt warm and tingly. And if you didn't, you're lying to yourself. Does that make me an evil person, Bob? You're the barometer of this.
I'm trying not to be a total asshole about people getting COVID because it's so damned easy, Thomas.
Well, I'm not either. I had somebody very close to me die of COVID.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I take it very seriously. But when an orange menacing prick gets it, even the friend's wife points out how much of a fart jackal thing it is to have happen. My new favorite words.
By all means, work it.
You know? I just came up with that too, just especially for you, specifically for you, Bob, because I'm a giver.
Well, you know? and that you are. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
So, I decided that I was going to keep. I know we talked about this when you were on my show a while back, that I was deciding what to do with FYNation.com, and I decided I'm going to keep it. It's kind of like one of those children that you don't want to just toss away.
I understand. Yes.
So I just got to figure out how to come up with a few more George Soros checks to help make it worthwhile, because that would be great. But beyond that, it's there for the foreseeable future. So I do really appreciate those who reach out to let me know when things aren't working, because sometimes I don't even realize it. And I didn't realize it because of the monitor issue, because we're down a monitor. But it is what it is. But I'm glad I got a chance to talk with you and say hi to the horn community. And hopefully you'll get lots of emails and start jackal parodies. And, you know.
It makes me wonder about the howl of a fart jackal.
It's more of a screech.
Well, I was thinking it might have been something neither describable as a screech or a howl, but maybe sort of a.
See, now you shouldn't talk about Camilla.
Sort of a damp flapping noise.
You shouldn't talk about Camilla Parker Bowles in bed. It's not nice. You shouldn't do that.
He'll be here all week. Try the veal. Don't try the veal. Don't forget to tip your server. Right.
Yes. But I wanted to call in and say hello, and I know we're coming up to Christmas and the holidays, and we're in Hanukkah, so I hope everybody who celebrates or doesn't celebrate has a happy one, and safe, and stay safe. Don't end up like my friend, who did everything you could do and still died in 7 days. Which is
Jesus.
Yes. He did everything right. That's the thing that people don't realize about this disease, is this virus, is you can do everything right and it'll still take you. I mean,
that's where being careful about the amount of time you spend in places.
Yes.
The places you spend time in.
Yes.
Stay out of convenience. Not for any prurient reasons. Stay out of convenience store restrooms.
Yeah.
Generally, restrooms out in public at all, because the smaller the space, the more likely it's floating in there.
Yep. And the last thing, you don't, especially if you have something that, I'll end on a serious note, let me let everybody think about this. You don't want to have that. My friend got it from his, we believe, contracted it from his wife. And she survived. And she has the worst survivor's guilt.
Oh, God, I can only imagine.
The last thing you want to do to a loved one is that, or to yourself.
Oh, I know. And there are a million little things. I don't know what it's like. You're still up in Connecticut, right?
Yes.
I don't know what the convenience stores are like there. But what I was saying here on the program last week is Kroger's, Food Lion, Walmart, people wear masks.
Yeah.
Rippy Mart, convenience stores, gas stations. For some reason, those companies will not enforce the mandate.
I think it's because they can't. They don't have the will to.
Well, then that's not can't. That's still won't.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I'm not giving them a pass. But, I mean, I freely walked into one without it until my friend stopped, until they mandated it in mine. And that's only because I was in and out of there so fast I didn't think.
Well, in my area, Thomas, there are three primary convenience store chains.
Mm-hmm.
One is called Little General.
Okay.
The other is called Go Mart. And the other is, and the third is called Sheetz. Sheetz. Of the three,
sure.
It's the nicest. It's like a Wawa from Western Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yep. Or New Jersey. I'm very familiar with.
Well, Wawa's a Philly thing.
Yeah.
Sheetz is kind of a Pittsburgh thing.
Okay.
But they're really, really, I mean, as convenience stores go, they're really nice stores.
Okay.
But not one of them will enforce the mask mandate.
And
I know for a fact, because of a complaint that I lodged, where Little General is concerned, they have been advised by counsel that they cannot refuse service to someone who isn't wearing a mask.
Because they're afraid they're going to get sued.
Wait, work with me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm jumping to the. I'm being a part jackal.
That's okay. No, they can and routinely do refuse. If you come in the store, big old gargantuan redneck you.
Yeah. Well.
You know, your belly's hanging over your blue jeans, and your moobs is all bouncing and a flopping.
Okay, the moobs, I believe, not part of the story. Sure.
Well, they got a sign on the window that says "No shirt, no shoes, no service."
Yeah.
So your happy hillbilly goes in there, not wearing no shirt, and ain't wearing no shoes, and they will tell you to turn your hillbilly ass around, and don't come in without a shirt and shoes.
Yeah.
But a mask is different. How? And all I can think is, because I know where I live, and 70% of the people in this state voted for Donald fucking Trump.
Yeah.
That means 70% of the lawyers, 70% of the teachers, 70% of the union members, 70% of this state voted for Donald Trump.
This is where I say I'm sorry.
Well, okay, thank you. But 70% of the lawyers voted for him, that means you're going to get maggot legal opinions.
Yes.
And they're going to follow the lead of the Attorney General of this state, who, when Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, said, just wear the damn mask. Wear the fucking mask. He swears he didn't, but we all heard him say it. The Attorney General said, but freedom, liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. We can't wear masks because we're free. And that's it. I mean, that's the word from fucking Sinai.
Yeah.
Because we've got maggot attorneys general and maggot lawyers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more conservative, well, if you are corporate counsel, then the likelihood that you are a maggot, some sort of fiscal, financial, tight-assed conservative goes up exponentially.
Yeah, that is true.
And so, you know, I was on the phone with the little general at corporate, and I said, listen, you're going to get somebody killed, and then they're going to sue your ass into the ground. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the advice we've received from our lawyers. I said, then your lawyers are very bad lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Because I'll take them. My blue state ass will take them.
And so that's why little mom and pops and convenience store chains are probably the most dangerous people, or the most dangerous places in a place like West Virginia, or just about anywhere behind the corn pone curtain.
I just have to correct you. You didn't misspeak. When you said people, corporations are people, my friend. So you didn't misspeak. You were pulling a Romney.
Yes.
Just saying.
Corporations are people, my friends. Human beings.
I'm just saying. Just want to make sure we're clear. But, no, I know everybody on our side knows this. And I just got to say, the hype over the vaccine is pissing me off. I'm glad.
I want to hear this. I want to hear this.
This is somebody who has multiple conditions. I have a heart defibrillator. I could die from too much stress. This pisses me off, and here's why. It's giving, on some angles, false hope. And then it's telling people, and I heard this on Andrea Mitchell,
Mrs. Greenspan, yes.
Mrs. Greenspan's show. Well, why don't we just reach out to the blacks and Hispanics and get them on board with this? And even though they've had
the blacks, oh dear.
Well, not quite like that, but you know she was thinking it, because yeah, they all do, and they'll never tell the truth about it. And I have a biracial daughter, so I can get away with it, barely. It's like, you're not going to convince people who don't want to do it to do it, just like you're not going to convince people to wear a mask. Because people are scared. People who, I would love a vaccine that I could trust. I don't trust the vaccine. I think it's way too, we don't have a goddamn AIDS vaccine. And I swear to Christ, if a bunch of straight people were getting AIDS and really taking it to the chin like they were with COVID-19, there would be a goddamn vaccine in 90 fucking days. Ronald Reagan would have fucking had it done. The Great Gipper. Another fart jackal.
Well, I think there's some truth in what you said, and it echoes things that I, too, have said.
So,
But you also have to factor in, There's too much reality out there, and it has to be overcome.
Yes.
The Tuskegee experiment, for instance. Or indigenous people who had been killed off by communicable disease, and then the white man shows up and says, oh, but I've got something that'll stop the next one.
Thank
you. But by the same token, what worries me is the early overemphasis of the vaccine, Thomas, is like the 14-year-old boy who thinks he's free to go out and have sex if he can find someone to have sex with him.
Thank you.
Because he has a condom. Oh, I'll never get anybody pregnant.
Thank you.
And then the condom breaks because he's 14, doesn't know how to use one, and the girlfriend winds up pregnant, and there we are.
My girlfriend has.
So what I fear is going to happen is that of the people who are taking the vaccine, I'm afraid that they're going to get a false sense of security. I watched a lot of coverage over the weekend, and I saw a lot of talk about when you should take it or when you can take it or when you might get it. I didn't see a single expert discuss the period of time it takes to become immune.
Thank you.
And this is frightening because, for instance, and I realize it's an unfair comparison, but it's a very loose comparison.
Go ahead. You're the boss.
What occurred to me is, for instance, when you get your flu shot every year,
mm-hmm.
it takes a matter of weeks to build up full immunity to the flu strain that has been targeted by that year's vaccine. I have not heard a word about how long this thing takes to develop whatever immunity it confers.
Thank you, because there's
if we factor into it the fact that it's not a one-off like a flu vaccine, it's a two-stager.
Yes.
That means and how much time between the two shots? 3 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks or something like at least 2 weeks.
Okay, so it's going to be something more than 2 weeks or whatever that interval is to develop full immunity. Now, I'm not a scientist and I don't play one on the radio, but I think I've got a pretty good understanding of that.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make sense to you? So,
no,
you're going to have a bunch of, well, actually, you're going to have a relatively small number of people who have been vaccinated initially who hope they might have immunity.
Yes.
But when we get to the point, say, because I saw a newspaper article for here in West Virginia saying West Virginia will start giving it out beyond the present staging of healthcare workers and people who are in long-term care facilities in March.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to be just as warm weather comes on, and we saw what happened with Memorial Day last year.
Thank you.
People couldn't take it anymore, so they ran out to the beach.
Yep.
I got to go to the beach and drink beer. And we got, and that was our first avoidable spike. And all the spikes since have been equally avoidable.
Yep.
Look at Thanksgiving. That's why we are where we are right now. And we're about to double down with Christmas damn dinner and Mr. Scrooge purchasing the goose and heading off to the Cratchit house.
Yep.
I mean, does this make sense?
No, totally. And that's why I'm so mad, because and not just because of the vaccine is like this end of the tunnel light shining brightly bullshit that isn't real and is a figment of their media's imagination. There's other vaccines. So which one do you take? Which one won't give my girlfriend, for instance, in her case, shock because she has a peanut allergy? Which one won't make my defibrillator go off? And to me, to release this and tell somebody like me who actually could very well be in the running to get this, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the side effects or how it's going to react. I can't take certain drugs because of my defibrillator, Bob. I can't take Adderall to help my ADHD because my heart rate goes through the roof. I'm a dead man.
Right, because it's speed.
Yeah. So to tell me that this is just safe and sound and you don't got to worry, and they found 2 days in that people with shock shouldn't really maybe not take this? For fuck's sake. You're kidding me, right?
Thomas, we have to be careful not to be or perceive to be alarmist.
No, I'm not being. I'm saying what you think is right. Don't be alarmist, but do what you think is right and what's going to save your life. And if maybe just wearing a mask and not going outside is the best thing for you, stay in your goddamn basement, because that's likely what I'm going to do for the next year. And I'm lucky that I can, because I just got a job where I'm paid to stay home. But find that. What I'm saying in my message is do the safest thing for you so you don't end up like my friend Bruce.
Well, and that's the terrifying part, because at that point in time, you're asking people to function with their intellects and not their emotions.
Yes. Basically, when it comes down to it, let's put it in real simple terms. Don't be a fart jackal.
That too.
But
it's entirely possible that there are some segments of the population, as I've been pointing out for a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. that will not see a vaccine until September or October of next year, if then.
Yeah.
Because this incredibly intricate supply chain, this logistical nightmare, has to be maintained.
Yes.
And there can't be any fuck-ups.
Yep.
There can't be any, say, hacks of the computer systems of FDA, UPS and FedEx.
Yep.
And today, we got the news that there's been a massive hack of the Department of Treasury,
yep.
Commerce, Homeland Security, and an individual told the Washington Post... this is looking very, very bad.
And not for nothing, to let you go and continue your thought. The Russians had Sputnik 1 vaccine months ago, and we all saw what the world did with that. I'm not being alarmist. I'm just saying we all need to take this very fucking seriously because our lives are at stake.
Oh, we absolutely do. And David in South Carolina, Stan, is in agreement with you. Subject line vaccine. It is a mistake to overhype this vaccine. People already have succumbed to magical thinking. This is not a magical cure, and it will be a slow process. Even if nothing goes wrong, wear a fucking mask.
Thank you. You know, I love my community, and I don't want to see anybody else die from it. Especially close to me. Or even that I know through your show. I don't want to find out that anybody died from it or anything else like that or got sick from it or anything like that. It's not fun. I know too many people. I can count on my hand at least five people that I know that have even gotten really sick from this or died. And I don't know that many people, Bob. I don't go out much. I don't like people. So please, for the love of Christ, just do what you think is the safest possible thing for yourself and your family.
Well, here's a piece of information for you, courtesy of Lee in New York. I just saw Jake Tapper interview an expert about the vaccine. Jake's question, who should not take it? Answer,
Greg.
A person allergic to the ingredients. Duh, says Lee in New York. That does not tell me about the ingredients.
Oh, my God. But it's the miracle cure. I mean, somebody please explain. I'm going to do this now and let you go. But I would like to pose a question. Maybe you could get some calls in for this question. If Peter Popoff or our friend... the magic one, I can't remember his name, Bob, help me out. The one that sells the macaroni and cheese in a bucket.
Jim Baker.
If they were selling this, do you think the media would be buying it? We have...
Of course not.
I'm just saying, when we have so little information to go on, take it with that amount of... intrigue, because your life is at stake, and not for nothing, a better one might come along the next goddamn day. And then you can't take that because you've already taken the other one. Just saying.
Well, I mean, there's a little similarity between that. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the ad and another vaccine. I'm sure you've seen the ad where the woman says, shingles can be what?
Yes.
Okay, that is for Shingrix. And Shingrix is the new highfalutin shingles vaccine. Mm-hmm. Now, 5 or 6 years ago, I had the previous shingles vaccine. It made me feel like shit for 3 days. I ran a fever and felt like, you know, places hurt that shouldn't hurt. And I was like, Jesus, shingles? So now we've got the second vaccine, and I have to go get revaccinated because it's got a higher protective quality. You got better odds.
Yeah.
But you have to take it in two stages. And we've had members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who have written in to say, yeah, first dose was okay. Second dose kicked my ass. Get your second dose on a Friday. That was our buddy Tom in sunny San Rafael. Well, oh, wow. Agnes has had dose one, and Agnes, remember, is immunocompromised, has lupus. And dose one made her feel like living dirt.
Oh.
And so
she feels
a considerable sense of misgiving about dose two, even though she's got to get it.
Yeah.
And she's really, really got to get the vaccine. I'm hoping that because she is immunocompromised, she can get the vaccine even before I can, so that if I do bring it in, it'll maybe only do me and not her. Because yeah. I don't want to be in that place that you were describing a few minutes ago.
Exactly.
And my adoration of the for-profit media is limited at best.
Yeah.
And it's I can see it working when it's working. And in those moments when every channel is talking about the same damn thing, you know that journalism is pretty much not present in those stories. And it's not present in the hype that I saw. I mean, Jesus, how many times? Well, you know, the trucks began rolling today, Bill. Okay, now to Fred and the Weather Center. That's all there is. There's no story.
And not for nothing. You brought up the ad. What did they make all their money off from with Pfizer and Moderna and all these companies? The media makes all their money. I mean, Bernie talked about this. They make all the money from the drug companies. So, of course, they have a vested interest in making sure you think that this is the wonder drug. And if it's not this one, it's not.
And that's the other thing that I've pointed out. I think it's good to have this conversation sort of in one place.
Yeah.
And that is, there are some two-stagers and some one-stagers. My personal inclination is to get the Pfizer vaccine if I'm offered a choice, because I don't want anything that the maggots and their stupid warp speed program had their fingers on in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And the closest you can get to that is the Pfizer vaccine, because it was largely developed by BioNTech. Looks like BioNTech to me, but everybody else pronounces it BioNTech.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to be quite as polluted by the Trump administration process. I mean, I don't trust them. There's no way you can make me trust them. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, okay?
No, I know, and neither am I.
That's where I would be inclined. But again, we don't necessarily know, because this thing is being emergency use authorized and the full scale testing was on some tens of thousands of people. Okay, great. But you still have to follow them and find out how long they stay immune.
Yeah.
Because boy, wouldn't you feel stupid, Thomas, to get the vaccine and go out and swan around town like there wasn't a pandemic, and the next thing you know, you're dying of COVID because your vaccine's run out.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people who are going to, by the time we get to where, I'm guessing, by the time we get to where people like me can get the vaccine, or, not people like me, perfectly healthy young people with little or no comorbidity, by the time they can get the vaccine, we'll be desperately trying to revaccinate the people we vaccinated on the first round. And the level of logistical nightmare to this, if you stop and think about it with a rational mind, will drive you bananas.
And that's why I don't, frankly. And I limit it to conversations with friends like you.
And every store with a pharmacy in it, right?
Yep.
It's got a sign. Flu vaccines here. Get your flu vaccine. And, you know, the doctor's offices, hey, get back here. Yeah, come here. You know, here. And you're done. excuse me.
That's okay.
I had to pay cash for my flu shot.
Yeah.
Now, supposedly, nobody's going to have to pay for this vaccine. But are you going to have to pay for it on the second round? Somewhere along here, the drug companies have to make a buck.
Yeah, someone's going to get paid.
And so I just can't sort. And granted, it's not my specialty. But I cannot sort the logistics of all of this. I mean, there are three groups that are going to be good at this: UPS, FedEx, and the United States military.
Yeah, and they should have left it with the U.S. military.
And the military, frankly. The military is downright expert at logistics, at, you know, moving people places in a hurry and moving stuff places in a hurry. That's a lot bigger than a case full of vaccine.
Yes.
But all you got to do is have one screw up. And frankly, there's no way of knowing how many screw ups there's already been.
Thank you.
Because this is still the Trump administration, and they could still fuck up a one-car parade.
Yep.
Or in the case of COVID, a one-car funeral that's now 300,000 cars long.
Yep.
So Matt in San Francisco says, as a layperson, I'm thinking that the vaccine is even more reason to wear a mask. Given that it lessens the effect of the virus, wouldn't it then mean that those who got the vaccine could therefore be asymptomatic? That means more asymptomatic people walking around that could be spreading the virus? I could be wrong, but by wearing a mask, I could be protecting myself if this is a possibility. Seems pretty harmless to be careful. Exactly. We are going to be in a mask situation for the foreseeable future, not just some 100 days, like Joe Biden was talking about. The other thing that has to be borne in mind is that by locking down hard and getting deadly in earnest about mask wearing, because, well, COVID is deadly. I saw a story on social media the other day, or one of the news aggregators, whatever, about life in Wuhan. Remember where this is said to have all started?
Yeah.
Where people were welded into their homes?
Well, you know, Tucker Carlson says that.
Yeah, well, Tucky Cucky could shut the fuck up.
Tucky Cucky. Park Jackal.
Yeah, right. You see? See? Life is entirely back to normal in Wuhan. It's entirely back to normal in New Zealand. There are parts of Australia that are back to normal. Vietnam has largely not been normal. And so it's worth remembering that it is possible to handle this without a vaccine.
Yeah.
And that's what gets forgotten and all. The only reason we're so apeshit for a vaccine, Thomas, is because we have been so godforsaken awful at dealing with it, because apparently the American people are a bunch of spoiled, rotten, stupid babies.
Well, yeah. And the other more intricate reason is because we don't have a centralized government that would mandate everybody shut down.
Well, right. Department. We don't have a government that acknowledges the reality of science.
Yeah.
And we've got a bunch of people who think that the Constitution is something that exists in their own fetid imaginations. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God, if I lived near you, knowing your infirmities, I wouldn't get within a country mile of you, A, and B, if I did, I'd insist on both of us being in full body condoms. But America, to the tune of about, 40% of us, are too goddamn stupid to do that.
Yeah.
A friend of mine told me earlier today I can't tell you the number of people I see every day that I have to avoid who seem to think that they've got a constitutional right not to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. My body, my choice. Just saying.
Hate to say it, but I kind of wish I'd never heard that phrase.
Part jackal. Just saying.
But you know what? That phrase is a perfect example of how these maggots, these right-wingers, whatever we want to call them, will pervert any decent message.
Yep.
Because my body, my choice is a very real thing for the women in this country.
Absolutely.
It is not a description of whether or not to wear a mask in the middle of a fucking pandemic.
And this is why I love you, Bob, because you're not a fart jackal. You actually speak the truth, and we can get on a level where it's, you know, a little bit above basic and not corporatized, and we're able to actually have a discussion. And I really appreciate you for that. So thank you for being on FYI Nation.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You always are, Thomas. I mean, I think about these things. These assholes that don't want to wear a mask are basically rolling the dice that they won't get COVID, and that if they do get COVID, they won't die.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes I think, you know, oh, you won't wear a mask? Take that Freedom Protector out of your little holster, rack around into the chamber, point mm-hmm. it at your head, and pull the trigger. And let's just cut out the middleman.
Exactly. It's kind of sad when even Chris Christie, of all people, fat bastard, gets it. When he's figured it out after getting it, you know, and apparently what he went through was no joke, and he didn't get the special treatment that Trump and Rudy Giuliani got. You realize how bad this thing is. And, you know, I appreciate the conversation, and I'll try to be around more now that I have one less job to worry about. Excuse me. And
that would be wonderful. I had a note from Lou, who's really enjoyed our conversation.
Well, I appreciate the love. And if you can send me your George Soros check, anybody out there, our Patreon is patreon.com/FYINation. And that would be wonderful because we need the help. And maybe I could get a new monitor. So that would be great. But beyond that, I really appreciate all the help and all the people who let us know when we're not working, because I'm a one-man show over here. So it's, you know, it's definitely appreciated. So
when we're not working, you're talking about you and that mouse in your pocket?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
I got to keep the bark jackals in line, you know.
Absolutely, without a doubt. So
especially,
I absolutely just want you to stay safe.
Yes, sir, and you too.
And your alarms, your alarms, ooga-ing.
Yeah, it is.
Apparently, a destroyer has spotted your periscope, and it's time to dive. Yeah.
My girlfriend said that for me. It's wonderful. It just drives me nuts. But I will talk to you soon, my friend.
You take care, Thomas.
Bye bye now.
Be safe. You hear?
You too. Likewise. Bye bye now.
Bye now. Thomas from FYINation.com. A couple of notes. Brendan writes, HIV vaccine. It's an apples to oranges comparison to compare the various COVID vaccines to a presently non-existent HIV vaccine. The viruses are entirely and completely different, as is their process of infection and disease course, their pathogenesis. I was trained as an HIV disease specialist and worked in the poorest areas of New York City, as well as occasionally in the more affluent areas. HIV had no sexual preference, and the very first patient populations that I worked with were heterosexual, mainly intravenous drug users, sex workers, transfusion, usually sickle cell victims. HIV is not and never has been a gay disease. I'm sorry for this poorly written email, but the lack of an HIV vaccine is not because of its being a gay disease. No, I tend to think that it's because it was not, and I think this is what Thomas was getting at, prioritized as an all-hands-on-deck sort of thing. And, you know, the fact that we still don't have one, two generations, you know, whatever, 40 years, 35 years, is telling. It's sort of like something that our buddy Matt in San Francisco said a little while back, that he still gets a little bit pissed when he sees references to, oh, this is the first time, this is the worst epidemic since the 1918 flu epidemic. Not by a long shot. Not when you count HIV/AIDS. Oh, no. Hell no. So that certainly does have to be taken into account. Known COVID unknowns. Lee in New York says, you're exactly right. How effective is it? How long is it effective? How fast does COVID mutate? Well, you might not want to hear this, but I just had a note from Agnes, who points out that, and this is via the BBC, so it's not like Alex Jones or anything. The BBC reporting, and I wish they'd do a better job of dating these things. A new variant of coronavirus has been found, which is growing faster in some parts of England, members of Parliament have been told. Health Secretary Matt Hancock said at least 60 different local authorities had recorded COVID infections caused by the new variant. He said the World Health Organization had been notified and the UK scientists were doing detailed studies. He said there was nothing to suggest it caused worse disease or that vaccines would no longer work. He told MPs in the House of Commons that over the last week there had been sharp exponential rises in coronavirus infections across London, Kent, parts of Essex, and Herefordshire. We've currently identified over 1,000 cases with this variant, predominantly in the south of England, although cases have been identified in nearly 60 different local authority areas. We do not know the extent to which this is because of the new variant, but no matter its cause, we have to take swift and decisive action, which unfortunately is absolutely essential to control this deadly disease while the vaccine is rolled out. The changes or mutations involve the spike protein of the virus, the part that helps it infect cells, and the largest COVID and the target COVID vaccines are designed around. It is too soon to know exactly what this will do to the behavior of the virus. Well, it's worth remembering in terms of evolutionary biology that things like viruses that kill too many of their host are evolutionarily unsuccessful. In order to be successful, the virus has to continue to be able to replicate. So that's what made, for instance, once we figured things out, authorities are pretty good at jumping right on top of an outbreak of say, Ebola. Also, because of the means of transmission there. Airborne aerosolized viruses are among the, if not the most dangerous viruses, because they are so easy to get. You had to rub up against somebody sweating with Ebola to get Ebola. You had to have for direct physical contact with bodily fluid. But whether it's measles, mumps, chicken pox, COVID, airborne viruses are far more of a challenge and far more of a nightmare. And since I brought up the E word, evolution, some of this has to do, of course, with the nature of sedentary human culture. We probably did not get almost all. It's the damnedest thing. We're still fairly confident that COVID evolved and mutated and made a jump from animals to humans. And there were people who wrote books in previous years, 5, 10 years ago, saying something nasty's coming. Don't know what it is, but it will make the human to animal jump or animal to human jump. And then we're going to be in big trouble. Well, COVID made an animal to human jump. SARS-CoV-1 did the same thing. West Nile is transmitted bug to human. And our human history of animal husbandry, not sure if that's a sexist term or not, but when we started living together and domesticating animals, that's when we started getting sick. One of the significant distinctions between, say, European colonialists and the indigenous people of this hemisphere was the fact that there really wasn't much in the way of animal domestication among indigenous people here because they had no need of it. If you were a member of a plains tribe, you didn't need to domesticate the buffalo because they were wandering around all over the place. Ducks and turkeys were there for the having. And you could just go and get them. On the other hand, the cultural model coming out of Africa, Europe, Asia was to domesticate animals and live right in close proximity to them. And it was that long proximity that allowed things like chicken pox. We call it chicken pox for why? Right? Cowpox. All those infectious viruses, or many of them, not all of them, I can't say that with any surety, but many of them evolved because of our close proximity to animals via domestication or at least confinement. And that is why so many people had their hair on fire for years before COVID broke out over the wet markets of Asia. Because you would have species which had never, ever, ever, ever been in contact with each other, stacked cage upon cage upon cage, pissing and shitting all over each other, and no way of knowing what would happen when these species that had heretofore not been in contact with each other came in contact and started swapping pathogens. I would think it's the kind of thing that would drive an epidemiologist quite up the wall. Because it's all variable and no constants. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. As Jeremy points out, scientists believe that AIDS was in the Congo as early as the 1920s or so as an unknown killer. They've seen signs that the epidemic was live long before we knew what it was and what it did. Yes. And we are finding out, of course, that COVID was apparently present in Europe. In places like Spain and Italy, in spring of 2019. So it's kind of hard to. The epidemiological end of this is extremely difficult work. And the level of genius that has to be leveraged in order to come up with something like a vaccine that focuses solely or specifically on the spike proteins of the COVID virus, that's genius all over again. I'm not trying to take anything away from the brilliant work that has been done to get a vaccine here. But those scientists would probably far rather that it not be overhyped, just as we've been discussing here in the last half hour to 45 minutes. Because the hype does no one any good and might actually do considerable harm. We are, after all, talking about the American people. What happens when people start rioting for the virus or for the vaccine? What happens when people are turned away who desperately want the vaccine? How do you deal in the right here and the right now with the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s of the world and all the other anti-vaxxers shrieking and hooting that this is all the opening scenes of I Am Legend? Sometimes, you know, it's a great movie. It's a horrifying movie. And it does us no favor. I mean, remember when the studio pulled Gone with the Wind? Yeah, I Am Legend should probably go off the shelves for a while, too. And then that, of course, would trigger an entire paranoiac reaction. And that's the bottom line. how in a country that is absolutely covered up in paranoia do we break that cycle when everything that comes along is twisted by someone to look like some sort of desperate, nefarious plot? I mean, Morian Mondays, Thorn in the Side Thursdays, Prayer Meeting Wednesdays. This entire program from time to time is a catalog of just how paranoid people can be and utterly incapable of utilizing anything resembling logic and common sense. My tobacco crumb crusted tongue hillbilly from the story. Now, what is it that makes that guy so certain that he's not going to get the Rona when he's doing everything in his power to try to get it? The only thing that powers that is ignorance. Because he didn't strike me as the kind of guy who can manifest just a shit ton of paranoid pride. And ignorance is our curse. Yeah. Jeremy just jumped back in. Thank you so much, Jeremy. Jeremy just took us down to $370 to go with a note. We need out of the hole, Horn family. We do indeed. It would be magnificent if we could at least wipe out last week's funding with 70 more bucks. That's 7 people at $10. 2 at 35, 1 at 50, 1 at 20, what have you. And that would get us down to just working on this evening, and we've got less than an hour to go in the program. I hate doing it this way. I despise it. But I don't know of any, like I said with Thomas, I don't know of any other way to keep this program on the air. So, give it some thought. I know it's hard. God, I know it's hard. We've been talking about how hard it is since this thing broke in March. So, with that understanding, yes, thank you. Thank you in advance. Let's go over to the stress line and check in with Reggie. Hey, Reggie.
How you doing, Bob? Happy Monday to you too, Bob.
Well, thank you very kindly.
So, from your previous caller, as you said about the for-profit media, only talking about the vaccines and Trump and everything else in between. So how do you feel about that, Bob? Exactly. As I said before, and I'll say again, we got to get his fat ass out the White House soon. You know exactly what I mean, right, Bob?
Well, sure I do, but there's no getting him out of there any faster than the process will allow him to go, and we've got to figure out a way to survive as he packs up and faces the music.
Yeah, because Joe Biden can't wait forever. Who wants to do that?
Well, it's not forever. It's January the 20th, just like it always is.
Yeah, but you know, he refuses to concede still.
Well, concession. Hold on, Reggie. Concession is nowhere in the Constitution. That is just something. That's just something that civilized people do for the greater good of the republic.
So they're going to toss his ass out, whether he likes it or not, come January 20th, correct?
He has to be gone.
Exactly. No matter what, regardless.
Theoretically, something truly bizarre on the scale of the odds of, well, probably longer odds than this planet being hit by a whopping big killer asteroid would have to happen in order for him to remain president. Some of those things do exist, but they are long odds indeed.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, people are tired of him, period. Whether it's thinking about or talking about him. I know the media is tired of reporting on him, but they have no, I would say they have no choice. They just choose or refuse to ignore that choice. Am I crazy and wrong for saying that, Bob?
No, I don't think I didn't think you were crazy and wrong the first time. There's nothing you can say about the American people to any degree of reasonableness that is crazy or wrong.
Right.
This is a deeply dysfunctional country. And for me, the million-dollar question is, how do we stop being that way? How do the people who seem so ordinary and so positive, perfectly rational in the grocery store turn out to be nut jobs?
I would say pray to God and forgive them, but I don't think that's going to work even.
No, this is not miracle work. This is the hard work of having a functioning republic.
Right.
And in many ways, Reggie, we gave up on that notion on January the 20th, 1981.
Oh, we did? Oh, you mean when we voted? I mean, not me, not we, but you, well, people like, you know.
When Reagan was inaugurated.
Yeah, exactly. When he was inaugurated. I was only, I was 7 going on 8, so.
I didn't know you were that, shucks, I didn't know you were that old, Reggie.
Yeah, I was born in 1973, Bob.
Okay.
April 10th.
Okay, so you're not even a decade younger than me.
Right. But like you said, we gave that up on, you know, 1981 when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. And we've never gotten it back, right?
We went to sleep and we didn't particularly care to wake up because we were getting this steady diet of how great America was and people chanting USA, USA, USA. And feeling oh so good about themselves while the country fell apart.
And serving their beloved, proud military, right? The U.S. Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marine.
Well, the fetishization of the military is a part of the descent into fascism. It's undeniable.
Right. You mean like G.I. Joe and all that stuff, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, flying jets over football games and constantly having to sing that. You realize that most countries don't sing their national anthem before a sporting event, right?
True. Only we do.
Well,
only this one does.
The Canadians do at baseball games because they have to play ours, so they play O Canada too.
So that's two countries. But like you said, other countries don't do it.
I remember when the World Rugby Championships were taking place and. I forget. Right. I think maybe New Zealand was hosting them, and I think we played Ireland in a match, maybe. And
right,
so there had to be that. There had to be the anthem singing, and frankly, some people were just perplexed. You know, why aren't we playing rugby yet?
Mm. Why are we playing rugby yet? Because they got to sing the national anthem and get that out of the way.
Right, right. You know, get me a beer and put the bowl in play.
It's like, you know, doing it before football, right? They can't play football until the national anthem is done and over with. Then they can, you know, are you ready for some football?
Yeah,
right, Bob? Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah. And I saw a photo courtesy of Steve in New York. Couple of just white kids, hockey players, kneeling during the national anthem, and I was like, yes,
right, yeah, before they got down and dirty. You know how hockey players love to fight. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, they do that more than any other sport in the world, fighting, that is. But you were saying about the for-profit media talking about the vaccines and, you know, back with the weather spread, or what's our celebrity news gossip there, Bob? Or, you know, stuff like that. Or the cooking show, cooking segments, you know. You know, getting back to that, nothing else. Like you said, your admiration of the for-profit media is limited at best. So is mine.
I feel like when I can tell when I'm being bullshitted. and this weekend's overhyping of the vaccine, because that's all it was overhype, Reggie. Mm-hmm. There was no substance there. There was precious little in the way of information. And it was just overhyping.
Yeah.
And it set off every bullshit detector I have.
You mean like your spider sense?
Yeah, very like Spidey. Like spider very sense? Like very like Spidey sense. Only it's in regard to things that are manifestly information devoid.
Right, and they didn't have the decency to even ask people, or, you know, actual doctors and scientists about this stuff. Not even Dr. Fauci himself, you know, had him on to ask him about this vaccine. They can't even talk to him, you know, to get the truth out there, right? I mean, they didn't have the decency to bring him on to talk to him about this, to prevent people from, you know, as you said, from...
Well, Reggie, some of this is about knowing which questions to ask.
Oh, you mean from the media to
yeah. You've got to ask the right questions, like how long does it take for this vaccine to confer immunity? Now, that's a simple question, but I'm damned if I saw it in a hell of a lot of watch and coverage over the weekend.
And is it actually safe? And is it effective?
The safe part, they covered fairly routinely. You know, the most common side effects are pain at the injection site, perhaps a low-grade fever, and just feeling crummy for a couple of days, a headache. And they very patiently explained, Reggie, that what that means is your immune system is responding to the vaccine and doing exactly what it's supposed to.
But what if certain people, like your previous caller, can't take it because of certain...
Well, that's, you've got to have some sort of a protocol, some sort of a checklist as to whether or not it's safe.
Yeah, exactly. That's
let's be clear. I don't want to spread any disinformation. I want to be absolutely abundantly clear about this. This vaccine does not contain the virus in any way, shape, in no way, shape, form, or fashion. Has this vaccine got the COVID in it? It doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't want to spread fear-mongering amongst the masses either, Bob. So, like you said, your bullshit meter went up because the news meeting was regurgitating.
But I mean, they got that out. They managed to get that out pretty consistently. The talking points were the same. Across the networks. It's just that the stuff that I wanted to hear wasn't there. And I think the things that saying I wanted to hear or see or have discussed actually have some value. But it could be that the reason those questions aren't being asked is because the answer is, well, gosh, we don't really know. Because this has been an accelerated process, and you don't have the same kind of data that you would have at the time one approved a vaccine on a general basis.
Yes, they're afraid of admitting that they don't know everything. I'm talking about the media, not the doctors or scientists.
Sure.
They're afraid they get stumped. They're afraid they get intellectually stumped by the scientists and the doctors, like Dr. Anthony Fauci. You know, they'll get stumped and embarrassed and humiliated on live.
Well, some of these people are relatively, I mean, these talking heads are reasonably intelligent, but you have to understand that there's an entire team behind them that are coming up with the questions. And quite often the guests are booked with a specific eye toward questions the guest wants to answer in order to provide certain information to the audience. So what they felt was necessary, this weekend was apparently talking about pain at the injection site, talking about possible low-grade fever, talking about possible headache. It'll be gone in a couple of days. Should be fine. Getting people to stop worrying about whether it's safe to take the damn thing. What I'm worrying about is past that, because I'm not worried about that aspect of it. I want to know. I want to know effectively, when will we have an immunized population? And that's an answer that nobody really wants to put out there right now, because the answer is not for quite a while. Sorry.
Right.
And then you also have to factor in that in order to get herd immunity, that term that's been so thoroughly trumpeted in the last year or so, in order to get the herd immunity that they say they want, you got to have participation north of 90% in the vaccine program. Right. Or else no herd immunity.
Right.
So the question is, it pissed me off that they went these networks went out of their way to find people from the African-American community who said, hell no, I'm not going to take the vaccine. We're not going to be guinea pigs for the white community.
Right.
I'm like, God damn, really? I mean, that's not to say I don't understand the misgiving and I don't understand the fear. It's just that I don't think putting someone on the air to say that out loud does any kind of a service to the black community and the Hispanic community that have already been ravaged by this damn thing.
So in other words, these guys are conspiracy nuts, right? There's differences between conspiracy theorists and nuts, Bob.
Well, no, right? I think they're both in the same Venn diagram circle. But the question is, why not just have Alex Jones on? Alex Jones to say, there's no reason the black community and the Hispanic community should trust this vaccine. Why not just have him on to say that? Because at least then everybody will look and go, that's Alex Jones. He's nuts. But instead you get someone who is rational sounding from the black community who says, I don't think I'm going to. No. White folks can take it first.
That's more and more fear-mongering. Don't you think so, Bob?
Yeah, sure it is. I mean, nobody says something like that without an agenda, Reggie.
Yeah. So you think they have an agenda, political or otherwise, behind them, making them say that?
Well, it feels like it. It feels like
telling them to say that. Yeah. And like you said, these talking heads are, well, being produced. You know, they have those earpieces. I'm sure you warn some yourself.
Right, and remember, you've only got so much time. You've only got so much time to get it said in. It's not like this program where I keep conversations going so that the information can flow. Man, you've got to hit that break.
Yeah.
You got three minutes with this guest. Then you got to hit that break for the shingles can be what ad, and then you got to sell some soap and another drug for that you can't take if you've ever had harbulary thyroid cancer, and it goes on and it goes on.
Yeah,
and then you come back and it's a new topic and a new subject, and you know, only very rarely is it welcome back. We're talking here with that very rarely happens anymore. Hey, Reggie, I got to roll, buddy. It's been good talking to you, man. You stay safe now, you hear?
Yeah, you do too, Bob, and keep warm. And the only network that doesn't happen is PBS. You know what I'm saying? That never happened on PBS. I guess they're private, or NPR.
Well, PBS and NPR are public TV and public radio, and so technically they don't have ads. Although they do have sponsorships, that tends to come at the front and the back, and it's not quite as interrupted. And you're right. I think sometimes you get a higher quality of conversation of interview, but you know there are still limitations.
Go ahead. Yeah, like in C-SPAN, 1-3, right? No, C-SPAN doesn't have any commercials.
No, but C-SPAN has lunatics. C-SPAN has lunatics.
I just wanted to call in and say I don't feel so good about this vaccine until they promise me that they ain't going to put no barcode in it that can float around inside my body that they can read with their barcode scanners. That happened.
That happened? How the hell did that happen?
That was a caller.
I never heard of no liquid barcode.
Yeah, that was a caller to the program. Yeah, they need to deal with this controversy right now, because I can't trust no vaccine might put a barcode in my body. I don't want them being able to track me. If they can track the vaccine, where else can they track you? Oh yeah, that's you. I played that clip in the program, and I had to put the hockey puck in my own mouth to keep from shrieking.
I'm surprised the host didn't laugh his or her ass off and hung up on the guy.
Well, no, that's what the out of sight bottle of booze is for.
Right, because I know you would have done that if he ever called you talking that fool.
Holy crap! Get a load of this. Hey, pass me the hooch. There's a liquid barcode in the vaccine. Don't drink it all. Reggie, take care, my friend. We'll likely talk before Christmas, so I hope your holiday season goes well, my friend. Do what you can down in Georgia to help Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff get elected.
I intend on and plan to. And what about your Christmas festivities?
It's all pretty quiet. I've got an order in for a standing rib roast of beef, and if the weather cooperates, I might make some outside Yorkshire pudding. And our family loves our kids. They love smoked salmon, so I think I'm probably going to get a whole salmon plank and smoke that.
Right.
And we have smoked salmon on Christmas morning on like rye toast points with sour cream and capers and tomatoes and stuff.
Right. What y'all
going to
drink with those
chicken? Oh no, we'll just have sweet tea or water. I mean, not going to be a big party. But
dessert, Bob.
Well, see, every Christmas I make my not quite famous flanana pudding. And I may try to make that if I can find the flan mix. I've been looking for it.
Why isn't it so famous, Bob?
Well, I mean, it's just my variation on banana pudding that comes down to us from my grandmother. And you know, we haven't opened up Bob's Big House of Butts or anything. You know, the barbecue joint for me to sell it. But it's tasty. I use flan instead of vanilla pudding, and use Lorna Doones instead of vanilla wafers. I prefer the no palm oil version of the shortbread cookies and bananas and the caramel sauce that drizzles across. And it's just heavenly. It's like a cross between bananas Foster and banana pudding, and it's yummy. And so I may try. You're right. I may try to make that because everybody loves it. I just can't eat any of it. Damn it!
Right.
I've packed on way too many pounds since I quit smoking. And besides, as people may have noted on social media, I mentioned it today. This is my 90th day without a cigarette, Reggie.
Congratulations, Bob.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations. Well, don't let your doctor hear you about your weight. Don't let your doctor find out about your weight.
Oh, he already knows. And he said, it's okay. Oh. He said, it's okay. Just lose it. Just lose it when the warm weather comes. And that's what I'm hoping for. What's that?
I'm surprised he didn't say you're going to die.
He actually said, you take a little more care for what you eat, but it's more important that you quit smoking.
Right. Well, you did that already.
Yeah, but it...
90 days ago.
No, but you, that's the day I had my last one. I will be quitting smoking forever.
Right.
Nicotine addiction and cigarette addiction are no different from drugs or alcohol. You remain in recovery for the rest of your life.
Right. What about caffeine addiction?
Oh, I haven't had caffeine since January 1996. Well, I have, but it was accidental, and it does not go well when I have caffeine.
No. What, like coffee?
Oh, I'm decaf. Right. Yeah, decaf tea, decaf coffee, all of that. I cannot have caffeine.
Right.
It makes me crazier than a sprayed roach.
Right.
Might as well, right. It might as well just lay out a rail of meth and then snort it up, Bob. No.
Right. 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 Yeah, I guess that's the worst.
Nah, you get, no, bad. It's not bad at all. You get used to it. I don't need the caffeine buzz. I just need the good taste. And if you get the right blends, it tastes right. Like coffee, and it doesn't taste like melted brown crayon in hot water, which is what bad decaf tastes like.
You mean like Sanka?
Well, that or, you know, even regular decaf coffee grounds, if it's not 100% Colombian or carefully roasted or Swiss water processed decaf, it's mostly going to taste like melted brown crayon in hot water, and it doesn't matter how strong you make it. It ain't going to get any better.
Right. I guess you're right.
Reggie, you take care of yourself. Give our best to the family, you know?
Okay, you give our best to yours, and keep warm.
I surely will. It's the gas tank just ran out, and we're 64 degrees in the studio, and I don't mind that at all.
Right.
You take care.
You better fill her up, Bob.
Well, no, I'll save that tank for tomorrow. Stay safe, Reggie. Thanks a bunch, my friend.
You do too, Bob. You too.
Bye now.
I'll talk to you before Christmas.
Man. All right. Sounds good.
Bye.
Our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur. A little bit of catching up. Thank you very kindly. We're done with last week's funding. That's huge. And so thank you very kindly to an anonymous friend for that, as well as thanks to Larry. Thank you, Larry, for jumping in. Thank you as well to Rusty. Rusty just jumped in. And that's important because, well, what's this do? Okay. That took us to 290, 240, 230. 230 and falling. We are now down to 220, thanks to Brendan. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you very kindly for your help. Thanks so much. So 230, and that finishes fundraising, or 230 to finish fundraising up to this evening. And by the way, a reminder, I am in possession of some wonderful Horn coffee mugs. They were given to us to use as gifts in return for your kindness. So I was told that it needs to work out to about $120. So anybody who kicks in, let's make it 100. Anybody that kicks in $100 or more, a Horn mug will be winging its way to you. And I've got several of these that we can work with for the time being. So if you want a Horn mug, kick in $100 and make sure I've got a good mailing address and it will be on the way to you. These, by the way, these aren't any little pissant mugs. These are good, sturdy 15-ounce mugs. And they're packed pretty well, too, so they should make the trip mailing-wise. Good, great for hot chocolate, hot tea, hot coffee, whatever you like. And they warm up and they hold heat real nicely. And they've got the Horn logo on them. I even went out and got some Sharpies. Just because I'm an egomaniac, I'll sign everyone on the bottom, Bob. And hope that the Sharpie sticks. Okay? Let's see. Other emails. As to national anthems, Robert in Australia reminds us, the Australian national anthem is Advance Australia Fair. Don't ask me what the words are. I don't know. It's a dull, boring song. I wonder if people get the words wrong as often as they screw up the national anthem. You know, when I was a kid, we'd listen to Braves baseball games on the radio. And I thought it was a song about the Atlanta Braves, you know, the land of the free and the home of the Braves. I thought that, you know, never mind. Infant intellectual processes, long time ago. I Am Legend, Robert adds, check out Flu, a Korean movie. also known as The Flu, 2013 South Korean disaster film written and directed by Kim Sung-soo, about an outbreak of a deadly strain of H5N1 that kills its victims within 36 hours, throwing the district of Bundang in Seongnam, which has a population of nearly 500,000 people, into chaos. I watched it a few weeks ago, Robert says, with English subtitles. The politicians ignore the medical advice to quarantine the population in their homes, which makes matters worse. It reminded me of Trump. Well, I was on board with watching that terrifying dystopian nightmare unfold on film, Robert, till you got to the "it reminds me of Trump" part, and I'm just not game for being reminded of Donald Trump any more than I absolutely have to. Meanwhile, subject line, vaccine madness. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Deacon Steve from Georgistan, says, the news cameras focusing on the first vaccine FedEx UPS trucks leaving the shipping docks was a bit over the top. In fact, it was absurd. Yeah. Well, that's a good word for it. I will try to post a picture. Jack in Shreveport said, are there pics of the horn mugs online? You know what? I'll try to, maybe I'll get the lovely Agnes to hold up a mug, and we'll put a picture of the horn mug online for people to view. Of course, that may be a hard no as far as the Agnes holding it up part. She's kind of camera shy. Drop dead beautiful, but camera shy. Go figure. David in South Carolina stand, subject line, both sides. The MSM stuck on both sides to explain the divisions and violence. They never point out that it is one side doing this. Well, no, they won't, because then their both-siderist cards will be, pulled. Because it's always both sides. It has to be both sides. Because, of course. Hey, thank you, Jug of Punch. Jug of Punch just jumped in. And a horn mug will be winging its way to Jug of Punch. Thank you very kindly. Jug said, have a C-note with shipping and handling. Good deal. And I've got me an address. So we're packing boxes. Because I also have boxes that hold the mugs in their styrofoam containers perfectly, or I hope perfectly. They made it this far. We'll cross our fingers. I don't know, maybe I should include a tube of super glue with it. No, don't jinx it. Don't jinx it, Bob. Shut up. But the upshot is that gets us down to, $120 to finish the evening, which would be tremendous beyond my ability to describe it. Billable, you may be a little bit behind on this. Billable Rick said, word just broke that Bill Pepe the Frog Barred of Justice will be leaving the DOJ as of 12/23/2020. He apparently will be able to resign rather than be tweet murdered by COVID Caligula. No, he got the tweet treatment. He got the tweet treatment. That's how the world found out, Billable. I've been fired
by tweet. I've been resigned by tweet. I knew he'd die. I mean, he did it to Comey, and he did it to others. I didn't think he'd do it to me.
You live by the tweet. Never mind. Never mind. Jack in Shreveport said, Biden's talking now. And, this too. Sparky advised me. U.S. Representative Paul Mitchell just quit the Republican Party to become an independent, citing the GOP's refusal to accept the election results. That's pretty darn. Yeah. on the other hand, however, Lady G is going nowhere. But nobody gave Lady G a heads up about the defenestration of Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. Manu Raju for CNN reporting, Trump's Hill allies, blindsided by Barr resignation, asked about an hour ago about his reaction to Bill Barr leaving. Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham indicated it was news to him. Well, I don't think he's leaving, he said shortly after Trump's tweet saying that he was doing exactly that, leaving. But it didn't take long, because Graham then turned around and said, issued a statement saying that Bill Barr was the right man at the right time in overseeing highly political investigations and stood in the breach at times against both the left and the right. America has greatly benefited from the service of William Barr as Attorney General, and I wish you well. Good for you, Lindsay. Now go grab a Darvon and a pink lady and try to relax. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned earlier how Fox News and why they have the Radio Rwanda moniker. Well. This all begins with Lynn Wood. You remember Lynn Wood. He's the guy who was shrieking and calling for bloody insurrection at that rally in Georgia a week or so ago. And he tweeted something kind of dangerously enigmatic on Sunday. Better to be safe than sorry. Make sure you have plenty of water, food, flashlights and batteries, candles, radios, Second Amendment supplies, and a plan to meet with leaders of your communities. Remember, we only have one president at a time. Our leader is Donald Trump, not Biden. With a picture of Trump with melanoma in the background, a considerably older photo, and it's captioned,
I'm still your president.
Not mine, motherfucker. Not mine. Not mine. On the other hand, over at Newsmuck, their alleged White House correspondent, Emerald Robinson, no, really, because that's definitely not a drag name, Emerald Robinson. Neither is cubic zirconium Johnson. But Emerald Robinson said, folks, when Lynn Wood tells people to prep, I listen. So there's Newsmuck trying to convince the maggots that we're going to have a violent revolution. Now check out again that list of things you're going to need. Plenty of water, check. Food, check. Flashlights, batteries, check, check. Candles, got some. A radio, you know, there's one in the car. Second Amendment supplies. What? What the fuck is Second Amendment supplies, s'il vous plaît? Oh, guns! Plenty of guns! Because plenty is in all caps. So it plenty modifies water, food, flashlights and batteries, candles, radio, and plenty of Second Amendment supplies. So plenty of guns and bullets. I mean, I guess you could make a sort of a broad argument that Second Amendment supplies also include, say, size 5XL cosplay camo vests for the gunned up right wing asshole group members. And don't forget snacks. Remember, Ammonium Nitrate Bundy, when he was back getting away with the siege at Malheur, asked, please send snacks. And that's when people sent him hundreds of dildos. And plans to meet with leaders of your communities. Hmm. How about that? I don't think you're going to have to take your water, food, flashlights and batteries, candles and radio, but your Second Amendment supplies? I think Lynn Wood wants you to take that to meet with the leaders of your communities, which is another way of saying terrorize the leaders of your communities by an implied threat of violence if you don't get your way. Wait a minute. That's the definition of terrorism. And somehow, I guess Lynn Wood still has a Twitter account, which kind of beats the dickens out of me. And a correspondent at Newsmuck is actively encouraging people to take that shit to heart. Well, I guess he doesn't have a deal with Jim Baker because he didn't tell people to stack up the bucket pudding. Mm. They want this. You realize they want this. And what's worse, the mere act, and I'm not trying to make anybody afraid to do anything. Remember, the watchword is stay home when possible. And I'm not going to give in and say, hey, every liberal that lives in a state where you can pack heat openly, please do so, because I don't want us to be them. But if you're like me and you live behind the cornpone curtain, where the act of wearing a mask is not just a statement of your IQ, but of your politics, that mask makes you, to a certain extent, a target for the people that Lynn Wood is trying to get mobilized with their Second Amendment supplies. Again, I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm trying to speak reality. I'm trying to acknowledge what's going on here. And what's going on here is frightening. That's all. So, you know, it's just going to keep getting more interesting because every time, like I said, every time we pass one date, there's another date. Because after the 6th of January will come the 20th of January. Inauguration Day. And that will be sheer madness. And that's part, and probably that has something to do, not just the COVID pandemic, but this is not going to be a great big outdoor gathering in the freezing cold of Washington, D.C. It's going to be largely remote like the Democratic convention was. And that's just as that's more than acceptable. Of course, Nitwit Nero will be out there on Twitter.
Why didn't Sleepy Joe have a big crowd? My crowd was so much bigger than Sleepy Joe's. Sleepy Joe didn't have a crowd at all because nobody wants him to be president.
It's going to be so nice when I don't have to do my stupid Trump impression anymore. When we can get to the point where we're talking about solutions. Instead of constantly discussing the problems. Decaf coffee. Jack in Shreveport says, my mom hasn't been able to find good decaf where she's looked so far. Do you have a brand or two that you recommend, especially if you found whole bean versions? If you do, please answer in an email since I usually need words spelled out. Yes. But I'll also do it for the benefit of, oh, damn, the Nickups. I'll do it for the benefit of the wider Horn community. If you've got Kroger's, they're 100% Colombian Swiss water processed decaf is the best. For whole beans, oh, darn it. The Newman's, no, not Newman's. Pete's. Pete's decaf is very good. Randy in PA tells me that the Kirkland decaf dark roast at Costco is good. So all of those are a possibility. If you're using K-Cups at all, then the Folgers 100% Colombian decaf K-Cups are quite good too. Sorry about the Nickups. Did I mention Mo Brooks yet? No, I have not. Let me go back to the quote. Because Mo Brooks, Les Brains, is persisting in his, Confederate notion that somehow this is all going to be changed on January the 6th. An op-ed in The Week on Monday by Joel Mathis. Donald Trump's defeat is good. Why does it feel so bad? There are still cards for Trump and his allies to play, and it is clear they'll be playing those cards right up to noon on Inauguration Day. The most notable card, of course, is Congress. In early January, the legislative branch will meet to tally the presidential election results, a rubber stamping exercise in most years. But Representative Mo Brooks, Les Brains, Republican, Alabama, a Trump ally, has other ideas. He's contemplating a challenge to the voting results in the swing states of Arizona, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Georgia, and Wisconsin. We have a superior role under the Constitution than the Supreme Court does, than any federal court judge does, than any state court judge does. What we say goes. That's the final verdict. Flavio noting, that sounds like a threat, Bob. Only because it is, and it's coming from the great-great-great-great-grandson of some godforsaken secessionist Confederate. No doubt about it. But it still doesn't mean it's going to stick. So maybe Ron Johnson and Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, they may all stand up and side with Mo Brooks. But it can't get much further than that. What they will be doing is maggot signaling to the folks back home that they did their dead level best, and they're going to keep after him. They're going to make Joe Biden wish he'd never run for president, that he would have just let that he would have just let Donald Trump be president, because Donald Trump needs to be president as long as Donald Trump needs to be president. Jesus. So that brings us to the end of the program. How about that? Time does fly. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. Thanks for all you do to keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live. Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is right here at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you can't stay home and you have to be out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use hand sanitizer liberally and regularly. Now that I have some, I'm spraying Lysol in the car when I get in and get out. You can't be careful enough. Maintain your social distance. If everybody's wearing a mask, 10 feet between you. If somebody isn't wearing a mask, leave. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you burbling saying, "What we say goes, that's the final verdict. Get your Second Amendment supplies." Avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.